21, the first 8 verses. The vision which the Lord Jesus revealed unto the Apostle John. We read, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, those who are unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death," or hell. Here is the reading of God's word. Let us pray. O Father, we ask that you would draw us near unto you, open our eyes and hearts that we might behold great and precious comforts from the word you have revealed unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, and family and friends, when somebody dies, we often look back at their lives, at their legacy to us personally, to the community around us, to the world at large, and that's a good thing. It's a helpful thing for many reasons, not the least of which is it helps us to remember very clearly the successes of their life, the positive elements of their life, all these things that then we can go and praise God for working these things in their life, things we've benefited from. And yet we also want to know today what happens to our loved ones next, after they die. Where do they go? What are they doing when they go there? Can I join them someday? And the answers that I have heard or maybe have in my mind to some of these questions, are they really true? Or are they just superstition? Are they just nice things that other people told me? How do I know what the truth really is? Well, the Bible tells us the truth today and tells us not only to reflect on the past, but especially to focus forward our eyes and heart on the future. You and I have never been to heaven. But there was one person who went to heaven and came back and told us what he saw, the Apostle John. God had his words recorded for us in perfect, infallible, without error words in the book of Revelation. And we read the gospel facts today that we end much better than we began. Our lives, our souls, our bodies, we end better than we began. And that's really saying something, that we end better than we began. Because if you think about it, the very beginning, we began quite well. We began quite well. When you or I were born into this world, I imagine our parents were not sad. They were happy, they were rejoicing, they were letting everyone know, it's a boy, it's a girl, and there was thrill in the air. But let's face it, on the other side of our lives, when we leave this world, there's not thrill and joy and excitement in the air, but sorrow and sadness and parting. Though we did begin well, we began well personally in this life, but even all humankind began well in this universe. The very first people, Adam and Eve, lived in paradise, the Garden of Eden, in a perfect world that God looked back after he created it and he said, Behold, it is very good. That's a good beginning. Adam and Eve walked with God every evening in the cool of the day and had fellowship with their Creator. That's good. But that's only part of a story of our beginning, isn't it? For it doesn't take long, only 3 chapters until you get to Genesis chapter 3, and then you understand that something turned very sour in our history. That the great beginning suddenly became a terrible beginning after sin. That gorgeous universe that God had created with all of its blessings for that righteous man and righteous woman as they lived together in a perfect marriage and love towards each other and towards God and using all of the creation for serving God, that beautiful universe was destroyed and corrupted when they sinned. When they sinned by not believing God's word, doubting God, and doing what they wanted to by eating of that tree. And the Bible tells us in Romans 5 verse 12 that that sin is also a part of our human existence, of our beginning. Not at first, but quite quickly after. Just as through Adam, that one person, sin entered the world, then death. The wages of sin, the reward for sin is death. That death then spread to everybody. Adam's disobedience earned God's judgment. Adam's disobedience earned a death sentence, an eternal death sentence of body and soul in hell. And every one of us share in that death sentence, God tells us. Every one of us is born into this world under that death sentence, even from the moment we were in our mother's arms. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." And every day of our lives we prove that we are not right with God, because we daily increase our guilt and sin even more against our great and good Creator. And if we deny that we're really all that bad, well, God has something for us. In 1 John 1 verse 8, he says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves," we're fooling ourselves, "and the truth is not in us." That's what God says. We have sin. But not only do we have sin, but there is a curse placed upon sin in the beginning. A curse placed upon sin in the world around us, as well as in us. There's a curse on the sin around us. At home, at work, sin affects us. In our relationships, sin affects everything we do. Relationships between nations. Why is there war, ever, anywhere? But because of sin. It all goes back to Genesis. To Genesis 3, verse 17, where God said to Adam, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." The fact that you're going to have to work hard, Adam, you're going to sweat, and the machines are going to break down. Whatever career you have, it's hard and there's troubles. Why? Because of the curse of sin around us. But then even the result of the curse of sin, it says, is that we who were made from dust go back to dust. For out of dust you are, and to dust you shall return. That also didn't have to be that way, but it's because of sin. And even Matthew 6 that we read reads about another curse that is around us and also in us. When we see things around us that we can't control, what do we do about them? We usually worry. And that is another kind of curse that we experience. But we do not have to. We seek first the kingdom of God. All these other things shall be added to you, Jesus said. There's curse of sin around us and also in us. Because sin is not just out there, other people.
who do it, but you and I, each of us personally, sin and struggle. For the child of God, we are able to obey God, we have His Spirit within us, but we struggle. We want to do the right thing, but we find ourselves not always doing the right thing, a lot of times not doing the right thing. Other times we know we're supposed to say no to this, but we do it anyway. We know we're supposed to say yes to that, but we don't do it. And we have that conflict and struggle. And Romans 7 talks about that. It says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death, this conflict and struggle within the Christian heart? The curse of sin upon us. We began well, but we quickly lost that great beginning and became quite terrible, cursed, full of sin, trapped, enslaved. For the gospel of Jesus comes and tells us today that we end much better. We end well. Even better than we began, even back when there was no sin at all. Our future is even better than that. We don't want to go back to where Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. We've got something even better in store," God says. What is that ending like? That's described for us in many different ways in Revelation 21 and also chapter 22. You can read those later. What is that ending like? We see in the very beginning of verse 1 that ending is new. The first verse of the Bible says, Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." The first verse of our text says, "I saw a new heavens and a new earth that God came down and created and swept away the old heaven and earth." You see, God's plan always succeeds. He's not going to let men and women ruin His perfect plan. Even if it takes thousands of years from Genesis to Revelation, God's going to have a perfect universe where His chosen people will live with Him forever in joy and blessing. And He's going to set things right and start all over again. And that's what He does. God's plan is not only going to succeed, but that plan includes us, that He will have fellowship and love towards us, the humans whom He's created, made in His own image. He has more love for us than any creature or beast or sun or planet, because we are the only ones created in His image. But remember, after Adam and Eve sinned, what happened? How did God, the Holy God, have to respond to them? They were thrown out, banished from God's presence. There was no way they could be in His presence, being unholy and wicked. And God made sure they would not come back because He set an angelic guard around the Garden of Eden with flaming swords that went every way. They could not get back and eat of the tree of life. But when we look to the future, we read in Revelation 21, that God has made a place for His holy children to come back and walk with Him every day in fellowship. For what do we read in verse 3? "I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God." Instead of being thrown away and cast out from God's presence, in eternity, we have an awesome relationship with Him. In fact, we are His children. We read a little later in Revelation 21, verse 7, that "He who overcomes by faith shall inherit all things." And God says, "I will be his God and he shall be my son." We're not slaves of God like we are slaves to sin. But we are His sons and daughters, His children. The paradise that was lost in the beginning is restored and made even brighter and more beautiful in the end. Remember that curse upon sin in the world around us and within us? That curse is gone. There's no curse there. Revelation 22, verse 3 says, nothing unholy at all. For what is verse 8, the last verse we read, say from Revelation 21, that these cowardly, unbelieving, abominable murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, all of these will be cast out. No one to plague us, to persecute us, to tempt us, to compromise our faith and our life. They will not be there in heaven.
that is also a reason why those who want to get to heaven, because they've been basically decent people, will never get there. They're in for a rude awakening. Because you need absolute perfection and purity to be in God's presence. And there's only one person who has that absolute perfection. And you have to stand with His perfection on your side. He has to give it to you. You can't work it out yourself. He has to give it to you, or you will be forever cursed and have a worse ending than your beginning. And nobody wants that for any of us today. A worse ending than we began. We want a better ending than we began. And so if there's any who are not right with Jesus today, do not delay, because you don't know how much longer you have in this world. But Jesus says, He invites you in the end of Revelation 21 and verse 27. He says, "There shall by no means enter into heaven anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Come to Him and you will know that your name is written in that book. Well, why is this glorious ending this way? How is it that paradise lost becomes paradise regained? Well, the answer is found in all the books in between. Genesis at the beginning, the great beginning that went sour because of man's sin, and Revelation with the awesome future. The answer is in between, and all those books in between, and everything they say. And all the scripture hangs together and pulls together, we're told, because of the Lord Jesus. He is the focus. It is in Him that we have redemption through His blood offered in our place. Scripture is held together by that. For why is it that God wrote Genesis to Revelation? Do you remember? The Bible tells us why it was given to us. In John 20, verse 31, we read, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." No other name, not Jesus plus something else, only Jesus, and you have real life, eternal life. Jesus guarantees that eternal life because He has almighty power, almighty love for us. He is the great King. It is His grace that brings us to heaven. There's no other way to get there. Listen again to what He said in our text, Revelation 21, verse 6 and 7. He said, "It is done." Do you remember when Jesus said, "It is finished"? At the cross, there's nothing more you can add. You can't help Jesus sacrifice for your sins. He did it all. It is finished, and now He says, "It is done." The ending will come. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Jesus makes it so. How can I know that the end of my life will be much better than this miserable, cursed world and life that I struggle with each and every day now? Because Jesus said so. That's why. How can we be sure? Well, look at the way heaven is described. The rewards and blessings that heaven gives us are not the kinds of rewards that people put in the Hall of Fame or put on their shelf, a gold medal or a trophy that fades and tarnishes. But the inheritance that the Christian has is described as something that is incorruptible. Cannot be corrupted. 1 Peter 1, verse 4 says, "It is undefiled, it does not fade away, but it's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Our inheritance is incorruptible, and our bodies also cannot be corrupted. Think of it. The Bible says there'll be no pain. God wipes away our tears. There is no sorrow. There is no sickness, no disease in heaven. There are no medicines, no doctors or nurses or hospitals. And you know what? We'll get along just fine. We need them desperately in this world. We don't need them at all in the world to come. The Apostle Paul tells us that this mortal body must put on immortality. 1 Corinthians 15. And when that happens, that's proof that death has been swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know our future will be far better than anything in our past, because Jesus has already gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us. And Jesus himself says that's what he's done. In verse 5, he says, Behold, I make all things new. Write this down, for these words are true and faithful. If Jesus says what I'm saying is true and faithful, it's true. And you can rest your eternity upon him. We know for sure the ending is better than we began, because we're not locked out of paradise anymore. But now we have a right to come into paradise through Jesus, and even to eat of that tree of life. So that he who lives and believes in Jesus, even though he dies, he'll eat of that tree of life and never die, but always live. Jesus comes to make all things new. If you have faith in this Jesus who says, Come to me, I give you living water, the water that brings eternal life. And if you drink of his soul and drink of his teachings and believe in him, you will never thirst again. You will be filled by Christ himself. And that's a future worth living for. A future worth waiting for. A future worth talking about and understanding. A future worth sharing that comfort with others. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God and Father, we thank you for your blessings and your mercy to us. We know that you are the one who comforts us and supports those who are weary. You do not delight in grieving or afflicting your children. And so we pray that you would look down in tender love and pity upon your servants in this bereaved household, whose joy has been turned into mourning. Be pleased to uphold, strengthen, and comfort them according to the multitude of your mercies, so that they may not faint under your fatherly chastening, but may find in you their strength and refuge. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.